yes. There it is. The guitar music.
I like it.
Radio Fishing is on here. So we are going to be taking, kind of corresponding our fishing report with Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and we're going to be seeing what everybody's got to say out there. We're going to be doing that every Tuesday, and just to try and get everybody caught up, get a few extra fishing reports, coordinating it with Facebook and Twitter, LinkedIn, so, and any of those social media things, you can post up where you've been catching fish or what's been going on, wherever you are in the world, and we're going to be using them. And just keep in mind that when you do post a fishing report there on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, we will be using your name on our radio podcast and on our website. So if you are wanted by the feds or somebody, you might want to use an alias. Yes, you know, don't use your real name, because, you know, I mean, many government officials listen to our show to see what we're saying about them.
Mainly the game and fish.
Yeah, especially Tallahassee. Yeah, so anyway, this is Fish and Frank, and in the chair across from me is Robert. And where are we going to start today, Robert?
Good question. Let's start in the middle.
Start in the middle?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
We can go either direction at that point.
Yeah, we've been going from Lemon Bay down to Sanibel, so where's the middle?
Let's start in the 20-foot holes.
Okay, middle of the harbor.
Right, we'll do a big circle.
Okay, spiraling outward.
Right, that'd be fun.
All right.
Be confusing and different.
I'm getting dizzy already. Yes, I'm dizzy already. All right, but I have a large coffee, a almost 3/4 full ashtray, and my sunglasses on, a half that pack of smokes, and a quarter tank of gas, so we're ready to go. So, out in the 20-foot hole, the middle hole, and the Pirate Harbor hole, holes in the harbor out there, what's been going on?
A lot of small sharks, some decent-sized ones, some black tips, you know, upwards of 5 foot, a few miscellaneous bowls and lemons, and an oddball hammer. Most of the smaller sharks, though, you know, you get the Atlantic sharp nose all over the place out there, the black nose, and quite a few bonnet heads actually lingering around out there towards that deeper water. There's also been a ton of catfish, obviously, a few cobias, bycatch while you're out there messing around with the sharks. The tarpon have been out there off and on for about the last 3 weeks, but the problem is they're not showing themselves at all.
I think on our tarpon map we've got those marked white right now,
right,
which is kind of less than a good shot,
right,
less than 50-50 shot, so yeah. It's worth a look. I mean, you know, you're throwing that big Hail Mary, so
yeah,
you know, if you're on your way out, it's always a great place to stop and look, or
absolutely,
on your way back up,
and those fish may dump in there after this full moon coming through. You know, we had the full moon on Friday, and usually they spawn, so they usually pack out there pretty good, but usually within a day or two or three after that full moon, they start to really funnel back in good numbers. So it's very possible they may come back up in there in better numbers. So it's definitely well worth keeping your eye out and watching for them. The guys that have been hooking up have been hooking up on them on pinfish, ladyfish, catfish tails. And obviously your bycatch is going to be a lot of sharks. So as long as you don't mind having your stuff bit off fairly regularly, you know, stick with the mono.
Why doesn't that sound good? I don't know. It just
it's job security for us because we sell more hooks. You know, but the thing is that sometimes those tarpon get real leader shy, and you know, it's an unfortunate byproduct of catching the sharks at the same time. But if you're trying to get that, you know, 50 to 150 pound silver king, it's well worth it. You know, other than that, the Spanish mackerel have been pretty much just about invisible out there. It's been kind of odd. There has been a couple guys catching some Goliath grouper, Jewfish out there in those 20-foot holes just by accident. What else we got going on out there? The bait's been scattered. There's been some.
Sorry, I was retyping back to guys giving me a report out of Baldwin, Michigan. And they're doing great fishing using, you know, with the mice, you know, smallmouth lures and stuff like that.
Well, that's kind of weird because, I mean, the frogs have been working so phenomenal here in the freshwater for the good, 8 weeks now?
Right.
And to have them doing good on the mice up there, it's kind of neat.
He hasn't told me what fish he was catching, but Stephen Culver, he's a guide out of Baldwin, Michigan, and he's got, he says they're just knocking them dead up there. He hasn't really said what yet. I'm trying to encourage him on that. So we'll be getting that. So, but any reports you have from anywhere around the U.S., we'd be happy to take. And like I say, Stephen Culver, guide out of Baldwin, Michigan.
There you go. That's pretty cool.
So anyway, back to the middle holes. I was kind of distracted there.
That's okay.
There's been a lot of thread fins around, but they've still been scattered.
Very scattered.
And what's weird is they're staying down.
Staying
kind of like
down.
The tarpon this year.
Mm-hmm.
Everything seems to be hugging that bottom rather than coming up and enjoying the sunshine. I don't get that.
Neither do I.
I mean, you know, fish have this, you know, natural suntan thing, so they can lay in the water in the sun.
Even when they've been getting chased, you're not seeing them coming up to the surface very much. It's just, it's a little confusing. I mean, to say the least, you know. Moving up over to the west wall, be a good spot to go over to next. Along the outside of the bar there, once again, a lot of small sharks. Quite a few cobia have been over there. Any of the crab trap buoys over there are worth checking out because there's been quite a few triple tail and cobia hanging around them. I don't know how many crab traps are over there right now, but I know they move them around a lot, so it's always worth checking them out while you're there. And then the guys that have been kind of drifting along in that 4 feet to 5 feet of water just on the outside edge of the bar from the radio tower going south,
right,
have been picking up no good numbers, but a few decent okay trout. Some oddball bigger redfish.
It's nice to hear when the trout come back up in there.
Yeah, and it's a really pretty area. I mean, when the water's clear, drifting that deeper part of the flats on the outside edge is actually pretty cool as you get a little bit further south, because you get into some patchy grass, and it's a neat area to look at the bottom. You know, you get to see a lot of critters. You know, it's just kind of neat. I enjoy just staring at the bottom as you're drifting along or running along through there.
Oh, yeah, and the other thing to be careful, to be careful, they're not going to hurt you. Tarpon right on the outside of that bar, if you're paying attention, you will see them laying down there close to the bottom still and cruising back and forth. So keep your eye out for the tarpon, the sharks, the cobia once you're on that sandbar, because there's every chance in the world you're going to see these fish.
Absolutely.
And I can tell you, just seeing them come by is heart pounding enough, but making that perfect cast right in front of them, letting it drop, hooking up, one will make your heart pound. The other one's going to pretty much make your heart stop.
Right. And as you're drifting along there, or even, you know, well, mainly as you're drifting along, it's hard to see sometimes that anything that looks mainly like a palm tree log, 99% chance it's going to be like a tarpon, possibly a cobia. There's even occasionally, on a rare occasion, you'll get some big snook that hang out there in that little bit deeper edge. Not very often, but every now and then. So it's worth taking a blind cast at anything that looks like a log, you know, or a palm tree stump or something. Up along the bushes there from the radio tower south, it's been a little wishy-washy with the redfish and the snook. There are plenty of them there, but every day seems to be hit or miss. Ever since this big full moon with this big tide, the tides have been real high tides and then dropping down to super, super low tides. So those fish have been moving way back up into the mangroves and then coming right back out to the edges again into some of those deeper little creeks and canals back over there on that wall. But you really kind of have to hunt for them, and as it gets warmer and warmer, it becomes a little bit harder to find them. And you also have to slow your presentation down significantly going into this time of year. If you're like an artificial lure guy, you can't be cranking a lure along. If you like spoons, you've got to switch over to like a weedless spoon, something that you can drag along the bottom or hop along the bottom. That buzzing that spoon along isn't going to work very well.
We're hearing a lot about that. Now, one of the things I do on my spoons, I make sure I use a ball bearing swivel.
Absolutely.
Now, I use a snap swivel because spoons are usually punched. And by that, I mean the hole in them where you tie your leader or line to is usually a punch through hole. They have just a big it's just a...
Just a hole right through the steel.
Yeah, but it's just slammed right through with a punch. It's not drilled or
formed
into the steel. So there's usually a rough edge there. So in order not to lose fish, I use a snap swivel. Now, I like the Hi-C's AF American Fishing Wire makes a great, inexpensive ball bearing swivel that's 85% as good as a Sampo.
Yeah.
And way less than half the price.
Oh, yes.
So... Sampo's still number one. You can't beat a Sampo's ball bearing swivel. It is the bomb, but they are expensive. In some cases, as expensive as a lure, but they last a lifetime if you don't lose them.
Right.
But you can get the AFW swivel, snap those on. I just leave them right with the spoon. I don't. When I take it off, it's to me, it's part of that lure from then on. Helps eliminate the line twist and gives me a little better action because the snap part of it acts like a split ring. It
right.
allows you a little more action, so you don't have to tie that fancy loop knot. You don't have the punch through edge on the spoon cutting through your leader.
Right.
So
and what a lot of guys don't realize too is, like those ball bearing swivels, they're what's that technical term for where it wraps around rather than being the safety pin style, crosslock.
Yeah, the crosslock.
It's a crosslock style, so it's a lot stronger. And the other thing too is, a lot of these manufacturers, including American Fishing Wire, have gone over to using stainless rather than brass on those. So you can get a super tiny, tiny swivel with really high tensile strength. You know,
yeah.
I mean, a lot stronger than the spoon or your line is ever going to hold, and yet still have a little tiny swivel on there that doesn't impede anything or catch grass nearly as often as some of the bigger, older swivels used to do.
Okay. Now, as we get around to Turtle Bay, Bull Bay, in that area, it's been hot and cold right there, right
very,
now.
Very.
It should be just unbelievably good right now. We got great water temps, but everything should be really good, but not quite as fantastic as it should be right now.
Right.
Still good. We're going to call it good, but we're not going to call it great.
Right.
So coming into Turtle Bay, what do we got? And then what's up in the bay?
I would be fishing, personally, if it were me, I'd just be fishing the entrances right there at like Muddy Bay, right there at the mouth of Turtle Bay, and then that little basin off to the right of as you go into Turtle Bay and make that immediate right and go up into that little lagoon. I'd be fishing like that first, you know, maybe 100-yard stretch, and then going up inside, honestly, I'd probably be drifting some of the deeper flats and blind casts into the sand holes and some of those deeper troughs, because it seems like the further back you get up along those bushes, it's just very, very inconsistent. I'd follow either the back trough going over to the Eagle's Nest
right.
in that deeper water, or just flat out drifting across that entire flat. Gallagher's Cut, same thing. I'd work that first 100 yards, mainly concentrating right at the entrance.
Or if you got a bigger boat, right along the outside beaches, you're going to see the beautiful white sand beaches, and you can fish right along there and actually have pretty darn good results. Getting over into Bull Bay, what's going on?
Well, going over into Bull Bay, the same principles going on. Deeper water and moving water has been the real key element there. There's a lot of smaller redfish way in the back by all those little boat houses and stuff, and then there's been some decent mangrove and snook hanging out underneath the shacks right close to the entrance. And then on the backside of Keopalau, that real deep trough there is holding quite a few snook that are moving both north and south out the entrances, working their way out towards the beaches and stuff.
Now, coming up Gasparilla Sound, the area over on the behind the sandbar but going over towards the Bull Barrier, that's called the Tailing Flats. And what's the bite been like on the Tailing Flats? I haven't, years ago, boy, you heard about
that. Yeah, that's all you heard of. Yeah.
And I haven't heard much about it. I mean, I know there's redfish out there.
There's redfish there. There's actually two schools of redfish that I've heard about over in there between, what is that, Sandfly and the Tailing Flats, and then there's that big oyster bar that goes over towards Widden Creek. That kind of triangle there, there's been a couple schools of redfish. One school's a bunch of little, like, 4 to 5 pounders, but there's one school supposedly there that are, like, in the upper 20s to low 30-inch range. Haven't heard much for trout over in there, any other oddball fish. There has been quite a few miscellaneous sharks cruising through there, especially some big lemons and nurse sharks. You know, that's one thing that we've heard quite a bit about this, you know, this spring and early summer. A lot of nurse sharks around swimming up in those flats, up in Turtle Bay and Wooden Bay.
A lot of big sharks, lemons and nurse, back on the flats and 3 feet of water, you've got an 8 foot shark laying there.
Right. It's almost like being in the Keys. I mean, down in the Keys, it's kind of a normal everyday thing to see nurse sharks or lemon sharks cruising those flats. And here, it's an oddity.
Well, I think the other thing we're going to see a lot more of, because we're hearing a lot more about big sawfish,
yeah.
I think you're going to see a lot more big sawfish back there in those flats, too.
Yeah.
I don't know how, it's amazing how this area can support that many big sharks, but if you consider the number of pinfish back there on those flats, there's got to be millions. Millions or billions of pinfish back there.
If they were piranhas, nobody would wade fish. And if they got to 5 pounds, nobody would get in the water.
If you got one pinfish in an aquarium, nice little fish. You put two fish in there, now you've got a gang, marauders. Yeah. I mean, they will run every other fish out of there.
Absolutely.
As soon as you got more than one of them, they're just, you know, they gang fight.
Yeah.
So, anyway, going up around Placida, heading up into the area up there.
Well, Placida Trestle's been hit or miss during the daytime. I mean, they've been getting a lot of fish, but it's been mostly smaller, you know, mangrove snapper, some lizard fish, ladyfish, oddball small sharks. But the night fishing has definitely been eminently better. There's been a cobia, a lot of miscellaneous sharks of all sizes, from little guys to big ones, a few tarpon, a lot of snook, bigger mangrove snapper, you know, like in that 12 to 14 inch range rather than that 7 to 9 inch range like they normally catch during the day lately. The other thing that they have been getting a little bit more of during the day that I forgot about is some spadefish. Spadefish have started to move in a little bit more up and down the entire trestle there.
Wow. So don't hear about spadefish on the trestle that often. I mean, that means the numbers are coming up. Must have been a good spawn. Must have been a real good spawn last, because most of these fish are going to be a few months old.
Yeah.
You know, they're not.
Yeah, they're not giants right now, but they're hearing more reports of them.
Yeah. So anyway, as we work up the intercoastal from there, heading up towards Lemon Bay, what's going on?
Lemon Bay has been a little bit quiet. I've been hearing more reports at the Tom Adams Bridge and the pier right there than I have anything else around Lemon Bay. I know that usually the outside edges of those docks this time of year are usually pretty good for snook and some redfish and oddball small sharks along the grass flats. But up inside the bay, not a whole lot. But the Tom Adams Bridge, nighttime fishing, the snook have been sick. The tarpon have been really incredible also, from 10 to 100 pounders. Bigger ladyfish, a lot of small miscellaneous sharks, a few pompano slash permit, because we're getting kind of conflicting reports on those. A lot of whiting, but the whiting have been exceptionally small the last week from what I've been hearing from some guys. Other than that, right there in that area, it's been
going
just
out through Stump Pass. Great. There's a bunch of snook out through Stump Pass. Yeah. We've got some nice catfish out there, a lot of fun to play with.
Yep.
As you come around the beach, there's the occasional Spanish mackerel outside.
Right. There has been some small jacks, like half to one pounders cruising in little schools out there too.
Yeah, they're not going to last long. That is one of the most high priced food fish in Florida, is those small jacks. That's the smaller they are, the more money they bring in.
Right.
And I think they're like a dollar. They're pushing $2 a pound right now commercially for those jacks.
Yeah, they don't last very long out there at all.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Nobody thinks of jacks as a big food fish, but it is big money fish if you're a commercial fisherman.
Absolutely.
So anyway, as you're coming down the beaches, what do we got, you know, coming along the shoreline? I know we got a lot of snook out there. There's a couple of Spanish mackerel, a few permit. What else is going on?
There's been an oddball bluefish here and there. There's been, obviously, the pompano permit thing going on. There's been a lot of small sharks scattered up and down the beaches, but the night fishing seems to be bringing in some bigger redfish.
I'm just looking around at this going, I just looked at the room, and we're sitting here with the headphones and the microphones and talking, and we got a board and all this stuff. Like, how did we get here?
I don't know.
This is nuts, isn't it?
It's kind of amazing. I mean, you stop and think about the plethora of different things we've gotten to experience and do over the years. It's pretty cool.
You're about to be a host of a nationally syndicated radio show. Dig on that for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, I remember playing, you know, me and my buddy fishing as kids out there in Tempe and playing with catfish, and sit there and, you know, and you're a teenager just pipe dreaming about stuff, and talking and going, yeah, it'd be cool to fish for a living, or damn, I'd love to have, love to have a, be on a fishing show and do that, you know, and Jimmy Houston's cool, look at that, you know, just seeing all that crap. And him and I were talking about it.
All that garbage. I didn't mind the dang as much as I want to eliminate garbage. That word from our vocabulary.
Sorry.
Not that it's a bad word. Yeah. It's just that we got a lot of kids listening. Yeah. And I'm back on track as Fish and Frank. And we are going to be family friendly. So not busting your chops. Just we're changing.
I'm trying to watch.
Yeah.
But, you know, him and I talked about it last year when I got to go see him. And it's amazing. I mean, and that isn't even really the that doesn't
anyway,
do it
to back
it
to the beaches. It's just back cool. to the beaches. Yeah, I know. So
and doing this is even just along with it. It's just cool stuff.
It is. It's a well. The great thing about having your own show is once we do the syndicated stuff, we have to be kind of on key because you have so little time per hour. You know, if you do an hour show, you can't squirrel because there's you only got 30. I think it's 35 minutes or 36 minutes on an hour show to talk. The rest of it, you know, you got to do the commercial stuff. Somebody's got to pay for it.
Right.
I pay for this, so it's no big deal.
Right.
So anyway, but and now a lot of small sharks left out there.
A lot
there.
Of small sharks during the
what
nighttime.
What would be the, you know, there's got to be, I know Azera Spook works great. Now, we're going to have predominant winds out of the east for the next few days. So to me, if you wanted to catch sharks on top water, the next few days are going to be just the crazy way of doing it.
Oh, yeah. It'll challenge the heck out of you.
And what you're looking for is schools of bait, anything as you walk along those beaches. Find a, if you can see bait working, that makes it a little bit easier because you're mimicking the bait. But just casting way out, work a Zara spook, a full-size spook.
Yeah.
Actually, the Rapala Skitter Walk will probably be my first choice on that. It's heavier, a little more splash.
Right.
But if a full-size Zara Spook or the bigger Skitter Walk, and I mean, work the heck out of it. I mean, really get it moving. Mm-hmm. Lots of splash, lots of working, and stop it every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. Pause. Pause is a huge, huge action that people don't realize.
Go about 5-6 feet with the lure and kill it. Let it stop. And then another 5-6 feet, stop. And that would be a great way to get into your first black tips, or if you've caught a lot of black tips, it's fun, it's interesting, it's challenging, but to catch them on a topwater,
right.
Whoa.
Absolutely. You know?
If you're going to use a lure on them, I'd probably suggest the Rattle Trap, the Fish and Frank's TNT Rattle Trap. It's only available here, we're working Rattle Trap on it, but it stays a little shallower, and it'll get that shark to come up for it.
Right.
And either the white lady, or the white one, we'll call it the white ghost, or the that gold one with all the stuff on it. It really just flashes on it. But we only have three colors. We got green and white, white and gold. So the gold one or the white one would be my choices out there. Try and get that top water. Or try and get that black tip shark or, you know, sharp nose, whichever one. But shark fishing out there with lures, those would be my three lure choices. The Big Zara Spook, full size, not the Spook Junior. Or the either the Rattle Traps.
Absolutely.
Or the Big Skitter Walk. But again, not the smaller one, the bigger one. So.
And if you're into the night fishing, you know, there are some bigger sharks out there along the beaches, and then also some bigger redfish cruising right along in the surf with those snook. It's kind of weird. You don't hear about redfish hardly ever during the daytime, but you go out there at night along those beaches, and it's pretty common. You know, if you're actually fishing with shrimp or cut ladyfish or something, it's kind of impressive.
I do cut bait because I think you get a more variety.
Absolutely.
Once you throw the shrimp out there, you're kind of into bonnet heads and nurse sharks. And but if you throw cut bait, you're pretty much into everything.
Right.
So, anyway, going down along Cayo Costa,
let's go up towards Venice because I've been hearing some pretty good reports up there.
What's up in Venice?
Around the jetties, the snook action has been absolutely incredible during the daytime and the nighttime. There's a guy came in with a picture of that guy was here Friday night, actually, with his daughter. He had a picture of, like, a 51-inch snook that was caught off the jetty during the day. It was skinny. It had bred out, obviously, but one of the biggest snook I've seen as far as length goes in I don't know how long. I mean, he said it was 51 inches, but it was a solid in the high 40s, I would guess, in a heartbeat. There's been an assortment of those, and then there's been some pretty decent mangrove snapper bite going on right there off the rocks. Sharky's Pier itself have not heard a whole lot. And that's usually because of the little mini mafia that's off the end of it that just makes it kind of a pain in the butt. But down towards Caspersen's Beach, there's been a lot of snook in the surf there with a few redfish, a few oddball pompano permit. Other than that, it's been a little bit slow on the whiting bite. You know, and then from that point, I would probably say venture out towards the Gulf and then work our way south because the Palm Island Ferry, Novak, Trembly, some of those nearshore reefs are just stacked with some really good mangrove snapper bites still, a lot of barracudas, some decent cobia, hearing of some fairly bigger sharks out at those reefs, especially the Palm Island Ferry. I've heard some real big sharks out there, and the Goliath grouper have been...
There should be permit out there in that Palm Island Ferry. You would think they would load up on it with as much relief as it has, with the way that barge sticks up off the bottom. It's got a huge space underneath it. And there's so many fish hanging out, and there's holes for us to cut through the barge so the fish can go in and out of that barge. The inside of that barge is loaded with fish.
Absolutely.
You know, fish like houses.
Absolutely.
And I don't know why they'd want to live in that one, because it's an open room apartment, and everything that's trying to eat you is in there with you.
Yeah, I mean, there's enough space in there to get Goliath grouper in there in a heartbeat. It's pretty amazing.
It's really funny. Here they go in there for protection, and they're actually kind of locking themselves into a small space where the bigger predators, which live in there, you know. But I guess they figured, well, there's enough of us, so get the one next to me, not me. So
hopefully him, not me.
Right.
You know, the gag grouper bite has been incredible, obviously, because the season's closed on them. You know, and they're everywhere from 7 miles out to as far as 25 miles in good numbers that we're hearing about. The red grouper seems to have slowed a little bit unless you're hitting that 25 to 30 mile mark, except for the few guys that have those key little tiny patches that they're fishing on. The lane snapper has been still really, really, really good.
Yeah, we just had a report come in, Chris Foley. He's saying that tarpon are doing well along the beaches. I believe he's talking about Gasparilla and Kayocasta. And he's also saying the whiting are getting big. He said big whiting out there.
Nice. There you go. That's a positive report on those, because everything I heard about up there at Stump Pass was small, and same way with the trestle.
Thank you, Chris Foley. Appreciate that, buddy.
The... working the way south down along the Gulf there, the School Bus Reef, the Sherman's Reef, the Mohawk, the Pegasus, the Captiva Blue Hole, all those are doing incredible right now. Some bigger sharks, lots of barracuda. I did hear of some permit that were on the Mohawk from a guy that was diving down there. He said that he saw quite a few fish on that. Saw some bigger bull sharks also. He said the snapper, though, that were down there was just unbelievable. He saw a lot of yellowtail on the Mohawk the other day when he was diving it. Getting a few reports of some big yellowtail out there, like 40 miles out, but not too much in closer than that, other than the Captiva Blue Hole and possibly the Mohawk if you can chum them up.
But there is also a lot of reports from mahi-mahi, blackfin tuna, all that. Once you break that 35 mile mark, get out there, keep your eyes open. When you're bottom fishing, you're not going to see a lot of the fish, but all of a sudden there you're fishing, and next thing you know, boom, there is a whole, just a plethora of all these mahi-mahi and everything all around the boat.
Yeah.
They seem to like the shade, so I don't know if I troll for them, but I definitely go out, bottom fish, keep your eyes open, have a couple of spinning rods rigged up, because the fishing is very good. And these fish are going to take with regular spinning tackle, so have your snook redfish rod sitting there on the boat, rigged with a hook, a leader, have a couple of rubber core or some good size split shots ready to go. And when you see these fish, start chopping up sardines, put a piece of sardines, throwing them out, hook one up, leave them hooked.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, anyway, but coming back down, a lot of tarpon right off of Kayocasta. Captiva's doing pretty fair from what I hear.
Yeah, Captiva, from what I got yesterday, actually, was a couple good reports down there. The tarpon have started moving out along the beaches down there, and I don't know if it's fish that are coming in from offshore that are spawning and just starting to finally work away along the beaches. But right at the entrances to Captiva Pass and Redfish Pass, a lot of tarpon around them moving in and out and just paralleling the beaches. And they're both moving north and south, so you got to kind of keep your eyes open all the way around you. The tarpon have still been good down there around Knapp's Point. just not cooperating. They're kind of doing the same thing as the Hill. They're just showing themselves, and one or two guys are hooking up, but nothing consistent.
Yeah, and we got our first report in from Alaska. The halibut bite and rockfish bite is really good right now.
Rockfish are cool.
Yeah.
Very old prehistoric fish. People don't realize, you know, a 20-pound rockfish can be upwards of 75 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
They look a lot like a grouper.
Yeah, they look very, very similar to a red grouper.
Yeah, the bright red.
Big yellow eyes. And the eyes are always bugging out because they come from 100 to 200 feet of water, so that air pushes out their eyeballs like a goldfish.
Yeah, they just got a picture from Alaska on with a rockfish in it. Very cool. Thank you, and we appreciate that, guys. Chris Foley sent that in. His buddy from Alaska just sent him a picture, and so
nice.
We just got the picture on our Facebook page.
Very cool.
So if you, we only can have 5,000 people on our Facebook page, and we are exceeding that. But if you click the follow button, you will get most of this stuff. So, and we will add you as a friend whenever we can. But we're also going to try and we're putting up a regular business page, which can add unlimited things on it. You like that, and you get to see all that kind of stuff.
Oh, really?
But we're going to be working on getting that going. It's going, but it's not...
not functioning yet.
It's functioning, just not what it will be. Anyway, going back, where were we?
Down in Sanibel.
Okay.
Coming back.
How's Punarasa doing?
Punarasa along those docks are loaded with some really, really big snook. I mean, all those docks right along those hotels and the few houses that are along there.
Yeah.
Some really, really nice snook.
Okay. You heard anything up in the Caloosahatchee? I know the tarpon are up around some of the bridges. Heard a couple reports of that. Haven't heard anything up by the railroad trestle yet, but we got to get a hold of Matt. Matt Hagfish is down there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But that river bite isn't that spectacular yet. It's
no.
worth a shot, but definitely way better at night.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get there at night. It's kind of like up here. And nothing much during the day. I think the bridges are just too noisy.
Yeah.
I think it gives the fish a headache. But as soon as the car traffic slows down, the fish move in really well.
Exactly.
So, anyway, where are we at? St. James City?
Yeah, St. James City. There's been a lot of redfish out there around all those little barrier islands and those little keys or whatever you want to call them. And the deeper sand holes are seem to be holding those bigger redfish. Not good numbers by any stretch, but there's definitely fish in them. Same way as some trout. There's been some scattered trout and a lot of small sharks in a lot of those deeper little sand holes and troughs. The snook obviously were there too. Most of those seem to be a little bit on the smaller side. Not hearing too many bigger snook around those islands. On the back side there of Sanibel and Captiva, all along that shoreline too, there's been quite a few miscellaneous snook, a lot of tarpon cruising the edges there too. Bigger sharks out in those deeper channels and some of those real deep they can't even be called potholes. What would you call them?
I have no idea.
Those football size holes that are out there that are 8 and 12 foot deep that are all scattered all along there through the sound.
Yeah, there's some amazing fishing in them. You're sitting literally the boat's in 18 inches of water or less, and you've got this massive hole in front of you, and you can look down and see the fish. It's
mm-hmm.
really cool.
Yeah.
It's one of those spots where you don't go up and blind cast it. If people were paying me to be on the boat, we would be going over there, stopping way back, making a huge long cast into it to see if there's fish before we got there.
Absolutely.
But if I'm just recreational fishing, I enjoy looking at the fish as much as I do the catching part of it.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to pull right up to the edge of the hole and shut down the boat and let it drift right up on there, standing on the nose so that I can see it.
Yeah.
You know, I like looking and seeing what's in there.
I have more fun a lot of times just watching more than I do casting. You know, it's pretty exciting. A lot of tarpon scattered in those holes along with those bigger and smaller sharks. That's been the primary thing I've been hearing around right there in the intercoastal from, you know, Redfish Pass up to Patricio. You know, Patricio has a lot of snook and redfish scattered on it. Over there behind Pelican Bay. Both entrances have a lot of snook scattered throughout it, and a lot of sharks. A lot of sharks of all various sizes. Same way with the tarpon. The tarpon are kind of moving through there quite a bit, and I think they're both moving up and down the pass side and on the back side of the barrier islands there.
So that puts us up in the Matt Lachey area, I would say right about now, kind of a parallel on the other side of the island.
Right.
Tarpon at night, big snook during the day, a few sharks, a lot of small sharks going in and out of there.
Right.
Redfish just north of and south. It's still, the water's still cool enough where that area just to the south of Matt Lachey is holding fish. But we're seeing a lot more redfish up around the Indian Fields and across towards Two Pines, the ice house down there.
Right. A lot of those little canals, well, not a lot of those canals, but some of those canals right there going up into, I guess that would be technically Cape Coral area. A lot of juvenile tarpon in there, and even some bigger tarpon cruising around in there. Had a guy the other day said he got like a 50-pound black drum and saw a school of about 30 of them that's been cruising up and down his canal for like 2 days in a row. So there's a couple oddball reports for back in that area too. As you move a little bit further north up on towards Boquilla and Johnson, or
Johnson Shoals,
Jug Creek Shoals. Yeah, how am I doing?
That's all
right. Right there around Jug Creek and those big sandbars out in front of Boquilla, there's been some tarpon, a lot of sharks, oddball incidental Spanish mackerel, whole lot of cobia still cruising around through there too. Well, not a lot, but I guess enough to definitely keep you keep excited about and watch for them, because I mean they've been cruising back and forth through there quite a bit. Some bigger pinfish for the guys that want to get some pinfish for the cut bait or for live bait for both the tarpon and the redfish. Lots of little white bait through there, but leave it alone, let it grow up and let it spawn at least once, because that's all I'm caring about.
If you're gonna get that white bait, remember, if you think you need 100 pieces, take 50.
Right.
And work with it. And let's let as many get through to spawn this year as possible.
Absolutely.
And if they're bigger ones, if they're 4 inches long or whatever, take what you want. They've already spawned, they've done their deeds, and it's perfectly good to take the larger ones. This is another case, like we're talking about with snook all the time. Keep the larger ones, not the smaller ones, because the larger ones, they've already done the spawn, especially in the case of whitebait. They only live a year and a half, 2 years, so no problem taking them. But let's get the bigger ones. Let's, you know, if we can self-police ourselves enough to keep just taking the larger ones.
Yeah.
And let as many of the small ones go.
Absolutely.
So no squeezing chum anymore.
Right.
So anyway, coming back up.
Let's move over to Boca Grande before we miss that.
Well, I was going to kind of highlight the end with that.
Oh, okay. No problem.
Because you're going to have a lot to say about Boca Grande, the tarpon, the snapper, all this other stuff in Boca. So let's continue up the east side.
No problem. Along there between Two Pines and Burnt Store, there's a lot of redfish scattered all along there. The snook have been moving in and out through there, mostly moving out towards the beaches. On the outside of the bar in like 6 to 8 feet of water between Burnt Store and Two Pines, there's been a lot of sharks, quite a few tarpon cruising through there. Most of the tarpon have been singles and doubles, but there's been enough that down there where it's worth looking at and hanging out for a while and giving it a shot. Right up towards the entrance of Burnt Store, around those islands there's a lot of snook, and then that deeper little edge on the outside edge of those islands where it follows the sandbar working its way north, it kind of drops off a little bit. There's been a few redfish, a lot of snook, few mangrove snappers, some bonnet heads, oddball trout here and there. And then as you move over towards Hobbs Point there, that trough in front of that big house, there's a lot of snook cruising through there. And then that main canal to the south of the house there has got some nice mangrove snapper right at the entrance of it with a few bigger redfish. On the back side of Hobbs Point, the redfish and the snook have been doing fair. The mangrove snapper seem to have thinned out a little bit in this last week. Haven't heard much back in there on those. The cut bait working really, really good. Cut ladyfish, cut pinfish. Live pinfish have been working fairly well. The shrimp have definitely been working really well. Even the frozen shrimp have started to pick up quite a bit back in there. A lot of juvenile tarpon right there at the entrance of Pirate Harbor, and even back up inside where it opens up in that, what's that little island in the very center as it opens up into all the canals. A lot of little juveniles in that 10 to 30 pound range, which can be a blast on snook tackle, or if you're a lunatic fly rod guys.
Yeah, if you're a fly rod guy, stop in, and the little teaser that we use on the pompano jigs, that's an excellent tarpon. Yeah. It works great on those little tarpon. It's the right size hook and just enough mylar flashy stuff on it. I'd get a white and a chartreuse, or a pink and a chartreuse. I definitely have the green one, but either the pink or white would be my second choice. But it's, I think they're like $1 a piece or something like that. They're really cheap, but they're great on those little tarpon. The other thing is really good on those little tarpon is the tiny rattle traps. I mean, the ones you use for crappie.
Right.
So.
And then that white storm stick bait has been working phenomenal. Oh, yeah, the
storm
phenomenal.
Twitch stick, whatever. I mean, Twitch.
Twitch stick?
I don't know. It's the little white storm bait, but we've only got a few, and we're waiting on another shipment, so if, don't get too excited about it. If you come in, I think we got, what, 10 left?
Yeah.
So that's not going to last long. It's not going to last out the week. Hopefully, we get our shipment in before we run out. Let's see. Now, you did the east side. What's going on in Punta Gorda, PGI, in the canals?
Punta Gorda PGI has started to slow way down. If you're fishing right at the entrances, especially in right at first light or in the evenings, the snook bite has been fairly decent. A few small sharks just on the outside of those canals. Some bigger black drum, a lot of little tarpon kind of moving around through there.
I'd say 9 out of 10 snook lights back there. The ones that are still on, people are kind of getting away from the light thing, but unbelievable snook fishing back there. Stay out of the light, fish the dark, but oh my goodness, oh my, I mean, unbelievable. I mean, geez, and quackers, lots of snook. I mean, they should be out there by the beaches. I don't think they're going back and forth.
No.
But unbelievable amounts of snook. But
and there's some redfish moving up in there too. I mean, Vinny's wife the other night caught a nice redfish. And
lots of catfish.
A couple guys come in.
Yeah, lots of catfish, but I mean nice size cats.
Yeah,
but no, I mean there's some great fishing there. A lot of it after dark. I mean, it's really surprising how good it is right now.
Absolutely.
But if you come up on the Peace River, there's tarpon, big snook, not a lot of tarpon, but a bunch of small sharks. But I don't think it's going to last much longer.
No.
The Peace River's hitting 4 or 5 foot in Arcadia. That's
is
a
it?
Big wall of, yeah, it's been on the rise. Started 2-3 days ago.
Okay.
It was less, 4 days ago it was less than 2 feet, and now it's probably close to 5.
Wow.
So I haven't really looked. I can check fishingfranks.com. I can get there pretty quick. Coming up, weather and tides, roll down to the bottom of the page, click the Peace River. And come on, just as I think, it's government websites are slow.
Right.
So, there it is. All right, the bottom graph shows the water level in Arcadia, and it was at 1 foot on June 10th, and it's now just under 6 foot. In 7 days, it's come up 6 feet.
Wow.
Or 5 feet it's come up, but it's just under 6 foot. So that's a lot of fresh water coming down. It's going to really change things on the west side of the harbor. We'll try and do it when we do our report at the end of the week. We're going to tell you what changes are coming on. But this has just been going on the 15th. Well, Saturday, it was at 3 foot on Saturday. And then Sunday started drastic. Monday, it really came up. It rose 1.5 feet on Monday.
Wow.
Yeah. So that Peace River, the reason this is important, that's telling us how much fresh water is going to be into the harbor. Tells us how clear the water is going to be. The water is going to start getting murky again. That west side is going to get really, really brown.
Right.
And we're going to see how far that brown water starts going out towards the pass, because that brown water, that fresh water is going to change everything.
Well, and it's kind of neat the way the dynamics of the harbor work, the way people don't realize how that water flows out and into the harbor. You know, when that water comes out of the Peace River and the Myakka River, it follows the contour of the west wall. It works its way down, kind of hits Cape Hayes, just rolls around the corner of Cape Hayes and starts to dilute a little bit. But then you got Boca Grande and Captiva and all that pushes in and hits up basically to Burnt Store. It's just a straight shot right at Burnt Store and then floods in coming up the east side until it gets basically to Punta Gorda.
And then washes
over towards the Myakka and starts diluting that side. So the west wall is always dirtier than the east wall most of the time.
Yeah, because it doesn't get that fresh, the incoming tide flow. It's it gets a lot of water movement from the outgoing, but on the incoming, it's not as strong because of rounding Cape Hayes.
Right.
But anyway, got to talk about the last, well, we'll do that. We'll do another segment on that in just a minute here. But coming back out, we've Port Charlotte Canals, a lot of snook, bunches and bunches of snook on the in the Port Charlotte Canals, way more than there was a week ago.
Right. I don't know what that's about. I think it's because of all the canals.
I think they're ending up their spawn. I think a lot of them have, they're done, and they're coming back up.
And I think all those spill dams finally starting to run along 41 are starting to push some of those little critters over and kind of getting them excited to do their natural thing of moving in after they get done with their spawn, come up and gorge themselves and build up that.
Trying to build a little body mass because, you know, when fish sex is very aggressive, it really is. I mean, that's a big wrestling match and lots of following and,
lots
you know,
of energy,
come here, sweetie, you know. I mean, that's Larry the Lounge Lizard with steroids. So, anyway, we're going along with that. But, before we skip down, did you do the Myakka River?
No, I've not done that.
What's up with the Myakka River?
The Myakka River up in the Myakka Cutoff has been sporadic. Still some bigger snook cruising in and out of there, some redfish. Been a couple small sharks cruising up inside there too, getting a couple oddball guys saying that they were, you know, hooking snook and then all of a sudden getting bit off one right after the other. So, you know, a few small sharks up inside there. Up towards the north end of the Myakka Cutoff around Tippy Canoe, there's been a few more snook, a lot of redfish. The redfish have been scattered pretty good along with a whole lot of small sharks on the whole outside of Hog Island on that deep grass flat there. A few tarpon. A few oddball cobia, especially up there towards the Myakka, or up towards the Eljo Bean and the 776 bridge there. The mangrove snapper bite has slowed down a little bit at night, but the tarpon bite has been phenomenal along with a lot of small sharks and some big catfish.
Very cool. Now, as you go through the harbor, a lot of spade fish out through the harbor on the different reefs and stuff. Good mixture of catfish, few tarpon, hard to get them to bite, and they're not showing themselves well.
Right.
Some cobia still cruising through, but
triple tail scattered everywhere.
Oh yeah, you could literally. We're up here in the upper harbor, right at the, you know, the north end of the harbor. If I was going down to Boca Raton Pass, I would have the rod on there rigged, ready to go, and I'd be stopping at all the markers, all the buoys, everything, looking for triple tail till you get to Boca Grand Pass. And so what's going on in Nightmare City? What is the Stockard Nationals of tarpon fishing doing right now? Let's start in the pass with the jig bite. I mean, because a lot of people still use jigs. Not a popular thing, but I'm going to tell you there's still hundreds of people doing it.
Absolutely.
What's up with the jig bite
and
right
if
now?
If you do it right, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
The jig bite's been fair in the morning right at first light until about between 7 and 8 o'clock in the morning, but it has been spotty because those fish one day are dumping in there and staying in there for an hour to 3 hours and then moving right up on the hill, or they're just scooting right through and just bypassing the pass and coming right up inside.
I still think that has a lot to do with the changing of the water current.
Absolutely.
A lot of... the flow pattern in the pass is so different than it has been over the last few years, because we're seeing sandbars come up, sandbars go down, an island build itself, an island get taken out. It changes every single year.
Every season it's changing drastically.
And if we get a lot of fresh water, it blows the... And we're getting a lot of fresh water right now, and the river's still rising. So as all that comes through on those outgoing tide, it changes the configuration of the sand. And that changes the configuration of the water flow. And every year it's going to be a different scenario. Everybody's going, oh, well, the tarpon are doing this and because of that. But nobody's talking about, they don't dredge the shipping lanes anymore. They're not maintenance dredging the pass. It makes perfect sense as to why those fish move in and move out.
It's absolutely having an effect on all those fish.
It's not the only effect on them. The other effect, I think, could be just 1,000 depth finders. Whether you're drift fishing in there with a live bait and a big boat, you're pinging that depth finder all the time. They prove fish hear depth finders. And, I mean, that sonic noise, that's a lot of noise in there. And not much from one depth finder, but if there's 50 or 100 boats there, that's got to be deafening underneath there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't like that high-pitched noise either.
No.
I live with it all the time because getting back from the oil spill, my ears got all messed up, the oil spill. But it's, I can't imagine what the fish must feel like. But anyway, you got the jig bite in the morning. Any particular colors working better?
Well, it still seems to be the consistent one is that green tiger. You know,
green guys tiger have been, with the red head.
Yep, you know, guys have been experimenting with some of the lighter colors, like the clear color, like that Little John.
Right.
With a little bit of a flash foil kind of pattern to it. But mainly that green tiger has still been kind of the faithful one this year so far.
Yeah, so
I think as the water starts to get a little darker, guys will be switching over to that root beer and that mangrove red colors and playing with that.
So around 8 o'clock, what are the fish doing? Are they coming out? I know some of them are going along the beaches
out front.
Some of
them are moving out along the beaches, definitely.
I think the lightning and thunder at night is pushing them out deep. Mm-hmm. I think they're going out deep into the Gulf, but as they come back, we're hearing more about tarpon coming right along the beach, 5,000 tarpon, then they dump into the pass. Then I think they kind of split a few ways.
Yeah.
Now, they're going up on the hill.
They're going up on the hill and all the way up as far as Cape Hayes, you know, and they're scattered little groups everywhere. And they are being a little bit picky with what they're chewing on. One day it's pinfish, next day it's grunts, the next day it's squirrelfish, next day it's shrimp, thread fins. It seems to be more of a crab bite in the early mornings, and then in the afternoons it's switching over to either thread fins or grunts or pinfish. And a lot of guys have been using grunts lately, experimenting with those. You know,
really, I mean, it sounds like I'm being facetious, but
no, that's exactly what it's. I mean, that's almost
about that's my grunt imitation, and
that's a very good grunt imitation.
And
really,
when they go out there, and well, a number of years ago, I spent a ton of time offshore, and it's amazing listening to these fish talk to you, and when you put the hook in them, they're talking underwater. And they're sitting there and makes the tarpon crazy. Like, okay, here I am, eat me. You know, eat me!
Right.
So, anyway, definitely a
going,
crab.
Eat him, yeah. Not me, eat him.
Hey, he's the one with the big mouth. Nature does better than humans. When humans have a big mouth, there should be somebody come along and go, gulp.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be great. I would have been dead years ago. Been swallowed up by some giant, you know, big mouth person eating person, I guess. I don't know.
But anyway,
crabs in the morning and then switch to bait fish later in the day for the tarpon. Make sure you got some good floats with you. And if you're putting balloons on because you got a bigger fish, make sure they're hard tied to the line. Right. Every time somebody goes to put on a balloon, they're always thinking about it, making it go away. I don't want it to go away. I want it to stay.
I don't even want it to slide up my line.
I don't either. I tie it right to the swivel.
I tie it either as tight as I can to a swivel, or I'll put just a little split shot right above it and pinch that on really hard because I know when it gets wet, it still wants to slide a little bit.
Well, everybody wants to do line to line, but when I'm putting the float on there, I can put a swivel between the line and the leader, put the leader to depth, and I'll put a swivel in there and just tie my balloon right to it, and that way I know where it is.
Right,
it stays right there. There's nothing wrong with using a swivel up there. And for people say, well, I don't want a swivel on there because it'll mess up the tarpon bite, but they'll put a rubber core sinker or a split shot on, so you get gray metal versus black metal. If you think it's the color, spray the swivels gray. They're connecting the line. That's all they're doing. But it's still the best way to join two lines. And if you got braided on, what difference does it make at all? They can see the braided. The only time line to line is really important is when you're going from mono to braided or mono to fluorocarbon, and that's sneaky. But once you put on braid, use swivels. Anyway, we were weighing the swivels the other day, remember? And it takes a really big swivel, a really huge swivel, to get up to the number two split shot.
Right.
So,
oh, yeah.
Anyway, if you're going out along the beaches, best thing to do is ambush. Be out there. Watch for them suckers that come down through that, long through that deep little cut along the shoreline. When they get up close, fire!
Right.
Get ready.
Well, and it's just like you said, it's going to be a predominant easterly wind, so it's going to be pretty calm along the beaches. So a lot of times you can just do a real nice, easy drift.
Oh, yeah,
and you've got that riptide from, say, the middle lighthouse down to the pass. That riptide naturally draws the water down to the pass. Doesn't matter if the tide's coming in or going out, it's still sucking water into it. And you can get a very good, controlled drift out there. And watch for those fish.
Go down to not the lighthouse everybody thinks of in the pass itself, but you head yourself up to that old lighthouse up about what she'd be, maybe a mile or so up.
Probably about 2 miles.
Yeah, a couple miles up. Good hour ride on your pony. And then you're going to set up that ambush and you just drift your way on down.
Yeah, I mean, that's a real, real good area. And they're usually within 100 yards of the beach. You know, so it can be pretty productive doing that. The pass itself has still got a phenomenal mangrove snapper bite. If tarpon don't tickle you, but you just want to bend a rod or you want some good grub, you know, the snapper bite has been really good, especially in the center of the channel, just slightly to the south. I guess that's probably about 30 feet of water it seems to be more consistent at. They just hang along that whole edge there. Has been real productive. And then around the phosphate dock, there's been some pretty good mangrove snapper there. Snook bite has been really good if you're more of a night owl and you feel like going out and having a good time around the phosphate dock, especially up close to the shoreline and around the Boca Bay apart, or condos, I guess you would call them. I call them swallow houses because they look like the old swallow houses right. Up north.
Yeah.
All those docks.
I
right
mean,
there
multi-billion dollar island, and you have these ugly, I mean, but ugly condos.
Just rectangle, look like a swallow house.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Put a little gargoyle on each post and you look like swallows.
I know if you're sitting inside them looking out, it's great. But when we're looking at them, that is the ugliest pieces of buildings I've ever seen.
And yet they wanted to get rid of that phosphate dock because it was an eyesore.
The phosphate dock actually looked cool.
The
unique
architecture of that thing. And
it was amazing.
The history
to
of
put
it.
Up, to put up square blocks, I mean, you know, somebody stood two ice cube trays, put them next to each other, and said, "Well, we can build a condo that looks like that."
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
I mean,
you know?
Genius.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
But so, those docks have lights on them, and the snook and the redfish and the Goliath grouper jewfish from 30 pounds to 150 pounds are all underneath every one of those docks, and the night fishing there is unbelievable.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing out there. So, anything we got to do yet to wrap this up?
Well, I think we kind of hit just about everything.
Okay. And
it is getting warmer, so make sure, you're staying hydrated. Watch the thunderstorms. Don't get caught in it because it can go from zero wind to 40 miles an hour and 5 foot seas in a heartbeat.
And he's not kidding, in a heartbeat. You literally are standing there, and it's absolutely dead calm, gorgeous. Watch that storm coming up, because if that storm does come up on you, it will go from 5 mile an hour to 40 miles an hour in less than 3 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bang.
And the other thing, too, is take the time to resuscitate your fish this time of year. I don't care if it took you 30 seconds to reel them in or 5 minutes. Take an extra minute to take the time to resuscitate the snook and the redfish and your tarpon, any of those guys. Just, it only takes an extra 2 to 10 minutes, but if you're releasing them, take the time to do it. Make sure you have plenty of ice on the boat, so that way if you are going to keep any of your fish, you're not wasting it, and throw that in the cooler real quick, because it is so blooming hot, it does not take very long at all to ruin your dinner, and no sense in wasting any of those fish.
Okay, well, this is Fish and Frank, and we are going to be kind of syncing this up with Facebook, Twitter, all that kind of stuff, so you guys can help us comment and do all that. In a little while, we will be taking radio telephone calls. I don't have the new boards in yet. I was supposed to get that done. I haven't got it done yet. As soon as we get the new boards in, we'll be taking telephone calls.
That's going to be interesting. I like that idea.
Be a real interesting thing. We'll be able to take phone calls from all over the country and see where we go with that. But in the meantime, Fish and Frank here. That's Robert in the chair across from me. Any last words?
No, I think I said enough. I was a little long-winded today.
No, actually about normal. But I think we're going to let Bobby take us out of here, and we'll see you guys on the next Radio Fishing.
Up this morning before the sun, grab my gear to get some fishing done. Jump in my pickup, give her a crank, I got to talk with Fishing Frank. Fishing Frank is the guy who'll know where the redfish and the tarpon go. From your boat or from the bank, the man to see is Fishing Frank. 'Cause he's got the tackle and the know-how too, and more than willing to share with you. The guys with the most fish in their tanks have surely been to Fishing Frank's. You gotta go to Fishing Frank's. the one who knows his fishing friend.